And this is KTOO News with Yvonne Crumry. A young climate activist born and raised in Ketchikan was one of two Alaskans named to Forbes' 30 Under 30 list this year. KRBD's Reagan Miller reports.
Kira O'Brien has some advice for other young Alaskans looking to make a difference in their communities.
Find something you're passionate about and go for it.
O'Brien is a 24-year-old Harvard graduate and climate advocate. Her passion for clean energy landed her a spot on Forbes' 30 Under 30 energy list this year.
Climate and clean energy are near and dear to my heart, and very excited to see the energy list for Forbes turning towards clean energy in the way that it has.
She says her childhood in Ketchikan led her to where she is today, working for a green energy developer called Total Energies as a public policy representative.
My childhood in Ketchikan really shaped what I'm doing today. And Alaska is ground zero for climate change. So clean energy is the future for Alaska.
Her job means she works in Washington, D.C., keeping an eye on federal offshore wind and solar policy.
So I monitor federal public policy. So anything that's happening on the Hill, happening in the White House, that's of interest to us. And then I bring the findings back to the company and try to deduce what exactly that means for our business and our investment decisions.
She started two climate-focused nonprofits and worked on the federal auctions that won her company two major offshore wind farm leases worth nearly $1 billion.
My field is quite niche, offshore wind especially, in the U.S.
It's not O'Brien's first time making one of these lists. She made a different 30 Under 30 list in 2020.
I was on one a couple years ago, Green Biz. It's a very similar kind of thing. It's just specific to climate and clean energy, though.
But before Forbes and before Harvard, O'Brien was a student at Ketchikan High School.
I was captain of the varsity swim team while I was there. I was a class act mentor. I was in the band program, a handful of other things.
She also was a summer intern for Senator Dan Sullivan in 2016, the same year she graduated from Ketchikan High School. She went back to work for him in 2021 as a correspondence manager. At Harvard, O'Brien was the president emerita of the Young Republicans Club. She also founded the Young Conservatives for Carbon Dividends Club. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
And Stedman Elementary School in Petersburg has temporarily canceled its after-school recess program Monday through Thursday. The school is having trouble staffing the program because it's cold and flu season. KFSK's Rachel Cassandra has more.
What happens is when one person is sick, it trickles down to other people, and we just don't have enough people to cover after-school duties.
That's Heather Kahn, principal of the school. The after-school recess program was running on Monday through Friday for kids in the first through fifth grades. Kindergartners joined only on Fridays. Kids would have an after-school snack in the cafeteria for 15 minutes. Then there was 45 minutes of recess. Altogether, the program extended pickup time for families 1 hour, from 2:45 to 3:45. Nicole Olson is a new school board member. She and her husband have two boys in the school. They're in the second and fifth grades.
Both my husband and I work full-time and then some. We've utilized the program since it started. It was one of those good things that came out of COVID times that we were thrilled to see stick around.
Olson says their family schedule will be disrupted, and her husband will have to end his workday early when he can.
We're going to miss an extra hour of supervised time for the kids. I know an hour might not seem like much, but to a working parent, it's a lot. And the trickle-down effect of that, not only for us, but I'm sure many other parents, is big.
Petersburg has a child care access crisis, so many families may be making do already and juggling caregiver schedules. Kahn says that the school is solidly staffed, but that cold and flu season is really rough. She says her day starts at 5 in the morning when people start calling in sick. They have a limited substitute teacher pool, which is mostly made up of retired teachers. And some of those retired teachers leave town for long periods during the winter. Kahn says flu and cold season sometimes knocks teachers out in waves.
So today, for an example, we have two teachers out in the elementary school and one para out in the elementary school. But over in the high school, I believe there are about four teachers out over there today with two paras. That's a huge loss to our district, which means that we will have to shut down programs.
And Kahn says that when they have to pick and choose between programs, everything during the school day gets priority.
Anything that's outside of the normal school day, if we can get it covered, that would be great. If not, we can't die on that hill.
Snack time will still be available to students who stay in the cafeteria right after school. Carly Johnson McIntosh is the director of the school's food program. She says kids have to stay at school for that snack, but it will still be available for everyone. Based on federal regulations, the school offers milk, a whole grain, lean meat, fruit, and a vegetable. For now, the after-school recess program for K through 5th graders will only be available on Fridays. The school will reassess whether they can restart the program at the end of February. Khan is hoping that cold and flu season will subside by then. In Petersburg, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
Bethel Winter House is the area's only low-barrier emergency shelter, and that means anyone over 18 can spend the night there in the winter. And last winter, hundreds of people did just that. But as KYUK's Nina Krivinsky reports this season, they might have to close their doors early due to a lack of funding.
It's a freezing November night, and about 25 people are spending it at Bethel Winter House. Before they roll out sleeping pads for bed, the emergency overnight shelter's executive director, Jayla Milford, rolls open the cafeteria window.
Okay, dinner is served! Women and elders first!
That's nearly half the people in the room. Dinner tonight is leftover mac and cheese and pork tenderloin. One of the elders in line tells me he stays here regularly. He doesn't want to use his name, but he has a job in Bethel, which he loves. He says he just hasn't been able to save up enough for a place of his own.
I feel real sorry for us homeless people. You know, they suffer a lot.
He says it's hard for him and the other residents to find a place to go once the shelter closes its doors at 7 a.m. It's often well below freezing at that time. He worries not just for himself, but for the other people there with him.
Blowing snow and really cold out there. Honestly, where are they going to go?
Bethel Winter House opened for the season in October this year. Milford, the center's executive director, says her goal is to keep the shelter open until the river breaks up in May each year. But the exact date depends on funding. This year, they may have to close as early as February. Without a heated indoor option, conditions that time of year are dangerous.
And so without Bethel Winter House, to put it bluntly, people will die.
Since Bethel Winter House opened for the season, it's already seen 100 different people come through its doors. Milford estimates that the shelter needs about $150,000 more to keep its doors open. In addition to a warm place to sleep, Bethel Winter House offers dinner, showers, and laundry. Last year, more than 300 people came through its doors. Many say on their intake forms that they'd be sleeping outside or in a non-habitable place, like a car, if it weren't for Bethel Winter House.
Already, we are seeing people come in and they are frozen from just walking in the times that we are unable to be open.
Bethel Winter House gets most of its funding from the city's Community Action Grant, local money that goes to nonprofits. Other sources of funding have been less reliable, Milford says. The organization has struggled to get money from federal grants, which Milford has found tend to go to long-term housing solutions rather than short-term emergency options.
Without us catching them at the bottom, they'll fall through and we'll never be able to get them housing. So we are the first step. And unfortunately, people want to fund the last step and not the first one.
But even as the shelter struggles to keep its doors open this year, it's working on a longer-term solution. The organization received grant money to build a 20-bed long-term housing facility attached to the current shelter. Milford says they're set to break ground in the coming months and complete the project in 2024. Though rent payments will cover many of the building's expenses, the new facility will be reliant on the shelter's staff as it gets underway. Milford said that could be a problem.
As of now, Bethel Winter House does not have the resources to take on another multi-million dollar building attached to it.
For now, Bethel Winter House is simply trying to raise enough money to stay open through the cold months. If it doesn't, residents say they're not sure what they'll do. One woman who stays at the shelter every night told me there are cracks around her door at home, and there's no heat.
It's a nice warm place, you know, a place to get out of the cold.
The elder in line for dinner says he'd like a place of his own by the time the shelter closes for the season. But he's not sure that's possible.
And if I don't, it's a very hard question for me to answer. I can't think about the future, you know. Today is today is today. And tomorrow, I know I'm going to go to work. But other than that, I can't think about the future.
If this place closes, he's not sure where he'll go. In Bethel, I'm Nina Kravinsky.
This is KTOO.